Welcome to the podcast series of Middle East and Africa Textile Journal.
Thank you. Yeah, it's great to be here. Picture this scenario for a second. You're standing in your garage, or maybe like a cramped spare bedroom, and you're staring at a t-shirt you just printed entirely by yourself.
Right, the classic startup moment.
Exactly. The design is absolutely crisp, the colors are just popping off the fabric, and it feels incredible. You crack the code, you put the shirt online, and someone buys it.
Best feeling in the world.
It is. And then you print another 10, and those sell out too. It's this romanticized image of the modern startup. But then one of your videos goes viral. Suddenly you wake up to a purchase order for 10,000 shirts that need to be shipped by next Tuesday.
Oh boy.
Yeah. And in that exact moment, the romance completely vanishes and you're staring down a terrifying logistical nightmare.
Because the tools that built that initial dream are now, well, they're the very things holding you back. We culturally love to celebrate the hustle of the early days, you know, the garage phase.
Gotta grind.
Exactly. But we rarely look at the sheer mechanical and operational pain of trying to actually scale up. It's a universal business truth, but it's currently playing out in a highly visible, highly technical way in the world of apparel manufacturing.
And that is exactly what we're getting into today. Welcome to today's deep dive. We have this fascinating stack of sources in front of us detailing a quiet but honestly massive structural transformation happening right now in the textile industry.
It's a huge shift.
It really is. Our mission today is to explore how one specific piece of technology, direct-to-film printing, or DTF, is completely rewiring how our garments are made.
And maybe more importantly, what it teaches you about that painful transition we just mentioned.
Yes, exactly. What it teaches you about moving from running a messy reactive hustle to building a structured, scalable operation.
Okay, let's unpack this. Before we can appreciate the industrial revolution happening here, we need to understand the baseline. What exactly is direct-to-film printing? Well, at a fundamental level, direct-to-film printing is exactly what it sounds like. Instead of printing a digital design directly onto a t-shirt, you print it onto a specialized transparent film.
Okay, so a middle step.
Right. Once your wet ink is on that film, you coat it with a specialized adhesive powder, and that powder sticks right to the wet ink. Then you apply heat to melt the powder and sort of cure it to the fabric.
And then you just peel it off.
Exactly. You peel the film away and the design is left permanently bonded to the garment.
I mean, that sounds brilliantly simple. I can see why entry-level DTF systems have allowed, you know, thousands of small businesses to just flood the market over the last few years.
Absolutely.
You just buy a modified desktop printer, some film, a heat press, and suddenly you're an apparel brand.
It is a phenomenal gateway into the industry.
But
as you read through our sources, you quickly realize that what initially appears to be this flexible, affordable solution starts revealing massive structural weaknesses the second your production volumes grow.
Right, when you get that viral 10,000 shirt order.
Exactly. That entry-level desktop system quickly becomes a severe bottleneck. You're suddenly dealing with agonizingly slow speeds, inconsistent color output, and above all, relentless daily maintenance issues.
Yeah, I definitely noticed that in the source material. It's very clear there's a primary villain in this story. The ultimate final boss of desktop garment printing is, well, it's something as simple as white ink.
The dreaded white ink.
Yeah, I was completely lost on this at first. Why is white ink specifically causing so many breakdowns?
So think of white ink like a dense, heavy protein shake.
Okay, a protein shake.
Right. To get that bright, opaque white that makes a design pop when you print it on a black t-shirt, the ink has to be heavily loaded with solid pigment particles, usually titanium dioxide.
Wow, so it's actual metal.
Literally ground up metal oxide suspended in liquid. So if you mix up a dense protein shake and leave it sitting on your kitchen counter for a few hours, what happens?
All that heavy powder inevitably settles at the bottom, leaving a watery, separated mess at the top.
Exactly. You have to constantly shake the bottle to keep it mixed.
Oh, wow. So in a desktop printer, if the machine sits idle overnight, or I don't know, if the room gets a little too hot, those heavy titanium particles are just sinking to the bottom of the print heads and the ink tubes.
Precisely. And the consequences of that settling are just catastrophic for a small business. Those dense particles dry out and create severe clogs.
That sounds like a nightmare.
It is. Instead of printing, you're running endless manual cleaning cycles, forcing expensive ink through the tubes just to try and clear the lines. The psychological and business toll of this is immense.
Because it forces companies into what the sources call a reactive production model.
Yes, a totally reactive model.
Because your entire schedule is suddenly at the mercy of a clogged tube. I mean, you might have promised a client 500 shirts by Friday, but you spend all of Thursday elbow deep in printer parts.
Covered in titanium dioxide.
Right. Fighting your own machinery. Your efficiency plummets because you're no longer a designer or a printer. You're just a full-time mechanic trying to keep a desktop printer on life support.
And you cannot run a scalable business if you're constantly having to shake the bottle just to keep the basic machinery functioning. The industry realized pretty quickly that this protein shake problem couldn't be solved by simply telling users to print faster.
Or just cleaning their machines more often.
Exactly. And they couldn't just build a slightly larger desktop printer either. They had to completely rethink the engineering architecture from the ground up to create what we now call industrial DTF.
Okay, so how do you fix a system that fundamentally wants to clog and break down?
You engineer out the human elements and introduce continuous motion. Industrial DTF introduces a totally new production model built around automation and high volume output. The most visible shift is the move to continuous roll-to-roll workflows.
Right. So instead of a human loading single A4-sized sheets of film one by one, these industrial systems feed massive, continuous rolls of film straight through the printer.
Exactly. And they're using multi-head configurations.
Yeah. Instead of one tiny print head slowly dragging across the film, you have a massive array of them, which I imagine drastically increases the speed.
Speed, yes, but it also guarantees perfect color consistency across a huge run of thousands of shirts.
Wow.
But that's only part of it. They also automate the variables that usually ruin a print. In a small desktop setup, applying that adhesive powder and melting it involves a lot of manual handling.
You're literally shaking powder onto wet ink by hand.
Right, like putting salt on your dinner. But industrial systems feature automated inline powder shakers and enclosed thermal curing units. The film prints, gets perfectly powdered, gets cured, and rolls up ready for transfer, completely untouched by human hands.
Wait, hold on. I have to challenge this logic for a second.
Go for it.
You're telling me we are solving printer breakdowns by adding more complex machinery. I mean, you're adding automated powder shakers, thermal curing ovens, massive tension rollers. Just adding 50 new moving parts just give you 50 new ways for the system to completely break down and ruin your day.
What's fascinating here is that the industrial system actually reduces the overall rate of breakdown specifically because of those additions.
Really?
By engineering out the manual handling and the environmental exposure, you remove the biggest variables that cause failures in the first place. Humans are inconsistent, automated inline systems are not, and more importantly, they finally solved the white ink problem.
Wait, they built an automatic protein shaker?
Essentially, yes. Industrial DTF systems feature built-in continuous ink circulation mechanisms. The white ink is constantly moving, constantly being agitated through the lines 24 hours a day. It is never allowed to settle.
That is brilliant.
Right. The system also runs automated, scheduled maintenance routines on the printheads without anyone needing to push a button. The system is designed to proactively maintain its own health rather than waiting for a human to react to a clog.
It's like the difference between taking your vitamins every day and waiting until you have to go to the emergency room.
That is a highly accurate way to look at it. You move from reactive fixing to proactive stability.
Okay, so we've established that industrial DTF is this highly reliable automated beast. But to really understand why massive businesses are pouring huge amounts of capital into this specific technology, we have to look at the broader competitive landscape.
Right, because it's not like the world lacked ways to print t-shirts before DTF came along.
Exactly. There's a whole textile tech showdown happening in these sources.
To understand the strategic value of industrial DTF, we need to position it against the established heavyweights of the industry. So, direct-to-garment, sublimation, and traditional screen printing.
Okay, let's run through them. First up is direct-to-garment, or DTG. This is where you put the shirt on a platen, and the printer sprays the ink directly into the fabric. The sources note this gives incredibly high detail and a very soft feel, but the limitation is that it requires chemical pretreatment. Why is that?
Well, DTG ink is highly liquid. If you just spray it onto a raw cotton shirt, the fabric acts exactly like a sponge. It absorbs the ink deep into the fibers, leaving the design looking dull, muted, and totally washed out.
Oh, that makes sense.
So you have to spray the entire shirt with a chemical primer first, press it, dry it, and then print on it. It's incredibly slow and mostly restricted to 100% cotton.
Got it. Okay, next up is sublimation. I was reading about this process and it sounds wild. It actually turns the ink into a gas.
It does. Sublimation uses specialized heat to turn solid dye into a gas that physically bonds with the synthetic polymers in the fabric. It provides incredibly vibrant prints that literally cannot crack or fade because the ink becomes part of the fiber itself.
That sounds perfect.
But the catch is substantial. It only works on polyester or synthetic blends. And more importantly, it completely fails on dark fabrics.
Wait, why does it fail on dark fabrics?
Because sublimation actually dyes the fiber,
Yeah.
and you cannot dye a black fiber white. Since the process doesn't lay an opaque layer of ink on top of the fabric like DPF does, any design you sublimate onto a dark shirt just completely vanishes into the background color.
Oh, right. So you're locked into printing on light-colored polyester.
Exactly.
Okay, that makes sense. And finally, we have the undisputed king of mass production screen printing, pushing thick ink through a mesh stencil. If you're printing 10,000 identical shirts, nothing is cheaper. But the limitation there is the setup time.
The setup for screen printing is immense. You have to separate the design by color, burn a physical mesh screen for every single color, align all those screens perfectly on a massive press, mix the inks by hand, and run test prints.
Just to start printing.
Right. It can take hours just to get the machine ready to print a single design. It offers absolutely zero flexibility. If a client wants to change a name on the back of the shirt or swap a color halfway through the run, screen printing is absolutely the wrong tool.
So, if we were to look at these printing methods like vehicles, screen printing is a massive freight train.
I like that analogy.
Yeah, it takes forever to load. The logistics of getting it moving are a nightmare, and it's impossible to steer quickly.
Yeah.
But if you need to move 1 million tons of coal in a straight line from point A to point B, nothing is cheaper.
And following that logic, DTG and sublimation are like highly specialized sports cars. If you're on a very specific, perfectly paved road, like a pre-treated 100% cotton shirt for DTG or a white polyester jersey for sublimation, they perform beautifully.
But take them off-road onto a different fabric and they get stuck immediately.
Right.
Which means industrial DTF is the ultimate heavy-duty all-terrain vehicle. It goes absolutely anywhere, adapts to any terrain, cotton, nylon, dark fabrics, light fabrics, requires zero chemical pretreatment, and can still carry a massive commercial load.
And that all-terrain capability is exactly what the modern market demands. Consumer trends have shifted heavily. People want rapid customization, varied fabric types, and shorter, much more diverse production runs.
Yeah, everyone wants something unique now.
Exactly. A modern apparel brand might need to print a logo on a cotton hoodie, a polyester gym bag, and a waterproof nylon jacket all in the exact same afternoon. Having a system that balances extreme multi-fabric flexibility with industrial scalability is the most valuable asset a manufacturer can possess right now.
Because this machine can seamlessly switch from a cotton hoodie to a nylon bag, it fundamentally breaks the traditional manufacturing cost model. You aren't just saving time, you're completely altering the economics of your business. But according to our sources, there is a major misconception about the cost of industrial DTF.
Yeah, the biggest misconception is judging industrial DTF solely by its initial capital expenditure. People look at the massive price tag of the hardware and balk. But the true value lies in how it completely slashes the long-term cost per print by eliminating all the invisible expenses of smaller systems.
This was my favorite insight from the source material. In a desktop setup, your cost per print looks like, a dollar on a spreadsheet. You calculate the ink and the film, and it looks cheap.
But that spreadsheet is lying to you.
Exactly. It doesn't factor in the $15 blank hoodie you just threw in the trash because the white ink sputtered halfway through the print. It doesn't factor in the 3 hours of labor you paid yourself or an employee to take the print head apart instead of fulfilling actual orders. Your actual cost per print is closer to $8.
Spot on. Industrial systems optimize every stage to eliminate those hidden costs. Automated workflows drastically reduce the labor required to run the machines. Because the continuous circulation prevents clogs, you have practically zero reprints or wasted garments.
Which is huge.
It is. And highly efficient, software-controlled ink usage lowers your raw material costs. So while your upfront investment is high, your operating expenditure plummets. Industrial DTF brings your actual cost down to 50 cents a print, and it locks it there securely.
And suddenly, because you have guaranteed reliability, you can actually say yes to those massive, complex B2B orders. You can take on a contract for a huge corporate event because you know the machine won't call in sick or clog up on day two.
That reliability is driven by what the sources refer to as the invisible workflow. It's not just the physical hardware doing the work. Advanced software perfectly manages color calibration across different runs to maintain strict brand standards. But there is another crucial hidden factor in this workflow that most people completely overlook when scaling up.
Oh, what's that?
Environmental control.
So what does this all mean? If I buy this massive automated machine, do I also have to become a meteorologist just to keep my warehouse at the exact right humidity?
In a word, yes. Humidity and temperature are not just matters of comfort for the operator, they directly dictate the chemistry and behavior of the ink.
Wow, really?
Yes. If the humidity in your warehouse drops too low, the air acts like a sponge and pulls moisture directly out of the microscopic nozzles on the printhead. The ink dries out too quickly, crusting over and increasing the risk of severe clogs before the automatic cleaning cycle can even catch it.
I was completely lost in the source material when they started talking about climate control. I was like, why does a printer care so much about warehouse humidity? But that makes perfect sense. If the air is dry, the liquid ink turns back into solid titanium dioxide right at the nozzle.
Furthermore, humidity affects how the wet ink sits on the film before the powder is applied. If the environment fluctuates, the ink might spread or pool, ruining the sharpness of the design. You have to realize that industrial DTF isn't just a printer you plug into a wall in a hot, dusty garage. It is a fully integrated production ecosystem. Controlling the room's climate, installing commercial HVAC and humidifiers is just as vital to the printing process as the physical gears in the machine. Integrating maintenance and environmental control is the workflow.
So you're building a controlled environment, not just buying a tool.
Yeah.
So now that we have this perfectly humidified, continuously circulating automated beast of a system running flawlessly, what is it actually empowering brands to do out in the real world?
The applications are expanding rapidly, specifically because of how fast the turnaround time is. In the high fashion sector, the speed and flexibility of industrial DTF enable rapid prototyping and incredibly short production cycles.
Which changes everything for them.
Totally. Brands no longer have to guess what colors or designs will be popular 6 months from now and order a massive screen-printed run from overseas. They can spot an emerging trend on a Monday, print a localized prototype on a Tuesday, and have a short, highly targeted run ready for market by Friday.
And it's also taking over performance wear.
Right.
Right? In heavy-duty workwear or intense sportswear, the durability of the DTF transfer is unmatched. The way that melted adhesive powder binds the ink to complex synthetic fibers without cracking or peeling under stress. I mean, it makes it ideal for high-performance applications where traditional DTG printing would wash right out.
Absolutely.
Here's where it gets really interesting to me. We typically associate massive industrial machinery with mass consumption and environmental waste. But moving to this massive industrial DTF system actually helps brands significantly reduce their waste.
Right.
Because of that rapid prototyping capability, brands can finally shift to an on-demand model. They print exactly what they know will sell rather than guessing, screen printing 20,000 shirts and throwing half of that unsold inventory into a landfill when the trend abruptly dies.
That is a critical point, and it represents a major shift in the industry. Sustainability is no longer just a nice talking point. It is becoming the central concern in global textile manufacturing. DTF printing inherently reduces water usage to near zero compared to traditional dyeing and screen printing processes.
Because screen printing requires thousands of gallons of water just to wash the ink out of the screens, right?
Exactly. But the industry isn't stopping there. The sources note that developers are actively exploring powderless DTF processes.
I saw that mentioned briefly in the breakdown. What exactly is a powderless DTF process?
Right now, applying that adhesive powder and running the film through a massive thermal curing oven uses a significant amount of electricity. Powderless systems are attempting to formulate the adhesive directly into the ink itself.
Oh, wow. So no powder step at all.
Precisely. If they succeed, they cut out an entire mechanical step, the powder shaker and the melting oven, which would save massive amounts of electricity and drastically shrink the physical footprint of the machines.
That is incredible. They're constantly trying to engineer out the inefficiencies.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, sustainability is no longer an optional PR move for these apparel brands. As international environmental regulations tighten and consumer expectations shift, global compliance standards are becoming incredibly rigid. Adopting environmentally responsible, highly efficient technologies like industrial DTF is a strict regulatory necessity for any company hoping to achieve long-term global growth.
It's truly adapt or die. Which really brings us to the core theme of this entire deep dive. The transition from a desktop printer in a spare bedroom to a massive industrial DTF system is not just about buying a bigger piece of metal. It's a profound mindset shift. You are evolving from a messy, highly reactive hustle into a highly structured, scalable operation.
It requires an entirely new way of thinking about your daily operations. You're no longer just an artisan making things with your hands. You are managing a sophisticated system that makes things. You have to develop new workflows, new technical skills regarding climate control and software calibration, and new management practices simply to feed the machine.
And I think that is the universal takeaway here. Whether you ever print a single piece of apparel in your life or not, as you grow your own career or build your own business, you have to cultivate the self-awareness to recognize the exact moment when the entry-level tools that helped you launch become the exact bottlenecks preventing you from scaling.
That's very true.
You have to be willing to abandon the romanticized hustle of the garage when it starts holding you back,
yeah,
and build a resilient system that can actually carry the heavy load.
This raises an important question, though, a final thought for you to consider as we wrap up. We've spent this time talking about how industrial automation perfectly removes the manual skill, the unpredictability, and the physical craft of traditional textile printing. It intentionally eliminates the human variables to achieve perfection. But if the modern factory becomes one giant, flawless, automated printer, does the true art of fashion shift entirely away from the manufacturing floor? Does the art move purely into the digital design software? What happens to the identity of the physical artisan when the machine is no longer a tool you hold in your hands, but an ecosystem you simply monitor?
That is a deeply fascinating thought to leave on. The magic of staring at that first garage-printed shirt wasn't just the design, it was the fact that your own hands physically wrestled it into existence. When the all-terrain vehicle drives itself perfectly every single time, the only thing left for you to obsess over is where you tell to go.